ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution here with the 338th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. We're just a little bit of time out from the start of training camp. Perfect time for us to take a look at the defense. We're going to call this episode the Master Plan for the Defense in 2022. Now, we know there's a lot of ground to be made up, and we're going to spend some time with head coach Arthur Smith from our one-on-one with him discussing the defense. You know, Grady Jarrett was re-signed. You got some pieces over there. Grady Jarrett got the extension. You got A.J. Terrell, who looks like a future star. You got a couple young safeties that might be football players. I really like the Jalen Hawkins kid. Richie Grant, they can get him on the right page there with Dean Pease. Perhaps you got something there. And a veteran cornerback, Casey Hayward. So we're not going to, you know, mix it all up. But they have some talent over there to work with on the defensive side of the ball. With that, we're gonna take a look at the front. We're going to look at the defensive line, linebackers, outside, inside, and the cornerbacks and the safeties. And then we're going to wrap up with a quick special teams look. It's a little hard to do special teams in the offseason. I mean, you know your main people, the punter, the kicker, and the long snapper, but we're not sure who those two of those three are going to be. So we don't know the gunners and all that kind of good stuff, a lot of the coverage units and so forth. So the Falcons will be putting that all together when they get together for training camp starting on July the 26th. Now, another good thing for you all this year, go ahead and Google, you put in Falcons practice schedule, Falcons open practices, AJC.com. So, the AJC story comes up. And you're going to have 13 chances to go to practices this year. And then the New York and New Jersey fans will have two hits up that way when the Falcons go up to New Jersey. I don't know exactly where they're going. I know the Jets go to Florsheim Park. I don't know if they're practicing at Meadowlands. I don't know where we'll get that. We'll get that for you. But you got two practices up there also. So let's, without further ado, let's move on to looking at the defense here. But also, let's start with Coach Arthur Smith, and about one of the first things I asked Coach Smith before we got into his thoughts on each position is how he will handle the off-season workouts and try to get everyone ready.
As far as the strength and conditioning program was, what was the focus for? I know everybody probably had individual goals, but what was the overall focus for trying to get the team?
Sure, I mean, guys that are here, there's a lot of good outlets for guys, and that's part of the, I guess, what do you want to say, the climate of professional football. So Everybody's got different ways they want to prepare. The guys that are here with our program, we certainly customize it to where guys are at certain points in their career, certain things they need to work on, and strength training or modifications on certain things of guys that are, as they age, and you may have to modify some things, but being smart and still training to get ready to go, because at the end of the day, you're training to get ready to play a football season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it helps when you're strong, and it helps when you're fast and you're in shape. So those are all things that part of the business, the objective hasn't changed. Maybe some of the methods have.
For the other players. So, and then just so how far is the OTAs, how have they gone the first, couple months when you get the coaches get to do a little bit more, right?
Yeah, again, it's part of the build-up. Mm-hmm. You got phase one. A lot of classroom time, strength and conditioning. Phase two, we're on the field. again, really trying to work on individual development. Mm-hmm. And as you know, guys can actually go out there and walk through some of the plays that you're installing or defense that you're installing or special team schemes. So that helps. And you get to phase three. And we're not in a competitive phase.
Right.
There are no pads on. There's things that we try to do to make sure as we, it's again another step building up, train a lot of the movements that we're going to ask these guys to do. There's things you can work on in the passing game in terms of timing and chemistry you try to build.
Mm-hmm.
And then defensively, the communication stuff. Again, the ultimate objective is get ourselves in the best shape we can going into training camp, both mentally and physically.
Mm-hmm. And what was the genesis of, saying you're going to play them a little bit more in the exhibition season, and you got the two joint practices this year as opposed to the one last year, just trying to get ready?
Well, I think a lot of things, could we have done two last year? Yeah, there's a lot of logistics that are involved in it,
right,
depending on who you're playing, where the opposing coach is with his program. And there's a lot that goes into that. We want to do that because it helps. There's a lot of things you can get out of it if you're practicing with the right teams. Mm-hmm. In terms of the preseason, I think you're always looking to improve your program. Mm-hmm. And I think I've gone on record and said you're a hypocrite if you're not trying to improve.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain things last year we were working through. We knew we had a lot of young guys that needed to get their feet wet and develop them. We also knew that we were thin at some critical spots.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we're a little risk averse.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you're seeing now is 22 teams completely different than the 21 team.
Mm-hmm.
We've got more competition everywhere. And these guys need to play. We got to make sure we're ready to go when we kick off September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. I mean, it'll be assessed every year, mm-hmm, depending on where your team's at. What critical areas you really need to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Doug and Sala, those are good coaches that you all were.
Yeah, I think in this business you always want to have good allies. It's a very competitive business, but it doesn't mean you got to create useless enemies. I mean, we're all trying to do the same thing. We're trying to get our teams ready to go. We know it's competitive. It's not like we're giving away any trade secrets here. People you trust, try to organize these practices because they can be very beneficial. You get to you get sick of going against the same guys. That hasn't changed in football. You get to practice against maybe a different scheme you want to see. It's if it's done right, and we'll be smart about it, it can be very beneficial. What you don't want to see is you go up there and somebody thinks you're going to, 500 fights. I mean, that's just wasting everybody's time.
Yeah,
I mean, I got it. It's like, football is a physical competitive sport, but if you allow all these fights to happen, those can't happen in the game. You're basically a lot of training them for something that we're not asking them to do, and you can't do.
Yeah. Guys get hurt.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Swimming, breaking hands, no swinging doubt. On helmets.
Yeah, you've seen it all.
But that was always the key. The coaches always have it under control. It's beneficial for the team. Seems like, for me, from my perspective, it's been a kind of busy offseason.
Yeah.
a lot of movement, big movements. And,
sure.
How do you all, Dustin's kind of settled now. What are you, trying to move forward in your second year here?
Yeah, it's about building a winning culture. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of guys that we've brought into this program the last 2 years and some veterans we extended. And we want to continue to build a winning culture. It's a competitive league, and year to year, no matter what your expectations are, at the end of the day, that ball's kicked off. The expectation is to win, and that'll never change. So, that's the short term. Again, when you asked earlier, that's the objective: get this team ready to go compete and win football games. And then long term, I don't think you ever stop developing your roster. You never stop looking for ways to improve it, and you never stop looking for ways to improve as a coach either.
Well, there it is, a good chunk of our beginning of our talk with Coach Arthur Smith. Just a couple things, fortunately, seen it all. It's just hard now. It's harder now for them to get their teams ready to play because there's not a lot of real football. There's not a lot of tackling. Limited pad days. I remember three-a-days, basically. You know, you got to practice in the morning, you know, a more than walk through in the middle, and then you come back at night with a full blown out practice. You know, they don't do that anymore. they do a lot in the classroom, a lot of, you know, just kind of tackling. And so, you know, it's hard to see that, you know, lead to good football on Sunday. So these practices with the Jets and the Jaguars are going to be big, especially for the Lions. That's where, you know, the one-on-ones will be important. You know, anytime that your line's lining up against their line, you get to see if you're going to be able to move people and open up holes and so forth. I just remember the one year the Bengals came here and they were 13-0 against the Falcons' offensive line in the one-on-ones. The Bengals did not lose one battle, you know, starting from Geno Atkins down to the 13th guy. And so that year you kind of knew, and this had to be the Lamar Holmes, Peter Conch year. Y'all can look that up. But, you know, that kind of signaled, Falcons might be in a little trouble this year. They can't. They got a tough – that was just a tough Bengal front. So you learn a lot in these joint practices, and Coach Smith is planning on doing that, so much so that he's got two of them set up. A lot of it was logistics. They couldn't do it last year. And, yeah, you know, the old ones used to be, you know, fraught with fights and so forth. I remember the River Falls, Wisconsin ones. You know, the Chiefs, it was notorious for the fighting. And the Bears up in Wisconsin, they would fight a lot too. And the coaches had to get back under control. And Coach Smith, Mike Smith, got it under control here, you know, so much so he had to send William Moore off the field one day. And Coach Arthur Smith and Doug Peterson and Robert Saleh, they must have a great deal of respect for each other, let their teams go out there on the field and jointly practice together. Now let's get on to the defensive front. Let's size up what he thinks of his defensive front.
That's a completely different edge group than we stepped in here. And I appreciate those guys that we had last year. That room's completely different. Mm-hmm. You know, Ade now is going into year two. So we drafted and we feel good about, but hopefully we can make a jump. I'm excited about Lorenzo Carter. Mm-hmm. I really am. I'm excited about the young guys we drafted, D'Angelo and AK. And I'm excited about Quentin Bell and Jordan Brayfield and these guys we got in our program to try to bring along.
You got big guys. You got Rush back.
We do, right? And Rush is a guy that's a really good first, second down interior guy.
Big guy too.
Yeah, Vincent Taylor. Yeah. But he's coming off a knee, so we're bringing him along. You won't see him out there tomorrow. I'll address all this tomorrow. There's guys that you'll see that, you know, uh-huh, not everybody is voluntary. There's guys in different phases of rehab. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Rush is back, and you know, as a guy we picked up after training camp, right? Mm-hmm. And he carved out a decent role. Hopefully he can enhance that. Grady got to see TQ and Marlon. Mm-hmm. We need some – those guys need – somebody needs to take a step in there for an internal pass rush. TQ.
Okay.
And Marlon, you know, somebody needs to step up. McThurman, he'll have a shot. You know, we got to get some more interior pass rush, mm-hmm, no doubt. You know, I've always felt this was like a three-year overhaul, mm-hmm, for the front guys. Whether you want to get OLBs, the front five, front four when you get in sub, but those guys are all up there. So I call them front guys, whether you say OLBs or the, mm-hmm, D-line. Base year and five down, mm-hmm, any kind of sub package are going to be in four down. Those outside linebackers play, they're essentially the ends, right? So
I count seven.
Yeah, four, so like when you're saying like four, where we've invested, well, hell, mm-hmm, we drafted Ade. Mm-hmm. Signed Lorenzo Carter. We drafted Arnold Ebiketie. We drafted D'Angelo Ramon. We brought guys in here, Quentin Bell, Jordan Brave. I mean, guys that come in here and try to develop and give them shots. And then inside, obviously Grady getting him back was big. Brought Nick Thurman in here. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he can get in there and try to continue to develop Marlon and TQ. Mm-hmm. Rush. And then we got these three rookies that they'll be given another opportunity. We've got to find another, and it could come from a lot of his base, more inside pass rush production.
Uh-huh. The key there at the end, more inside pass rush production. Now let's go back over some of the items here. Lorenzo Carter, D'Angelo Malone. He mentioned Quentin Bell and Jordan Baker. Quentin Bell is a good-looking player. We might see him on the field this year. You know, the Rush, Anthony Rush, we talk about in the middle, because you got to have that big guy in the middle. Just think of New England and Will Wilfolk, you know, setting off their 3-4 or Nagata with the Ravens during their times. And, you know, of course, that's the type of defense Dean Pease has been running. So, you know, the big guy, Anthony Rush, Vincent Taylor, they like him. He's out with a knee. So substantially bigger at the nose. Now you got Grady on the right playing a 3-4 DN, and he needs Tyquan Graham or Marlon Anderson and or Marlon Anderson to step up. We did a story on that, so just Google Tyquan Graham, Marlon Davidson, comma, AJC.com, and our intern there, Miss Erica LaFloria, did the story on Tyquan and Marlon. Now, Marlon flashed. He made the Brady interception last year. Tyquan's been out there. I don't see him getting pushed around, but I need to see him make a play. So that'll be something to watch for the Falcons in the as they get ready to go to training camp. Be something to watch in the joint year practices. I thought it was also telling, talked about a three-year overhaul of that position group. Okay, and more interior pass rush. Just keep repeating that. More interior pass rush. More interior pass rush. Now, I came across an article here about the tiers of the fronts in the league. 33 different teams. So, and of course, the Falcons were in the seventh tier, which was the last tier. And we'll talk about the first tier. But the last tier of teams and their defensive fronts, and this was done by the website, the 33rdteam.com. And the seventh tier consists of low-end starter talent across the majority of the front seven. You don't want to hear that. So, but they got young guys, so they can all, you know, turn this around. You know, EBKT, Malone, Audie, you know, Graham, Davidson, all these guys. So these units will likely struggle to create pressure at high and consistent level and face issues with stopping the run, especially since they may see a lot of time playing from behind. So seventh tier team, this front's not well thought of. They don't know if they can stop the run, and that's going to be a struggle for the Falcons. So that's where they're thought of on this one website. And the seventh, they list are Davidson, Tyquan Graham, Grady as a front three. You know, they don't have the nose in there. And then Ebukiti, Deion Jones, Rashawn Evans, and Lorenzo Carter. That could be Deion Jones / Mikael Walker. Everything else is straight there. Now, the top tiers, let's just look at the top real quick before we move on to our linebackers. The tier one consists of the defensive fronts in the NFL that will be exceptional against the run and pass. While there was a larger emphasis put on stopping the pass, both are factors here. Each of these teams has a premier pass rushing duo with a mix of young and up-and-coming talent and established veterans. Now, that's a lot. So they got the pass rushing duo, young talent, up-and-coming talent, and veterans. And those four teams are Tampa Bay, Buffalo, 49ers, and Colts. You know, Buffalo's up in there. They picked up Von Miller. They like the mix in Tampa Bay, even without Sue, because they picked up Akeem Hicks. 49ers, y'all seen them the last couple years, what they can do with the Bosa-led crew there. And then the 49ers had so much, they traded DeForest Buckner to the Colts. So Quiddy Pay, DeForest Buckner, this is Matt Ryan's new team. Grover Stewart, Yannick Ngakoue, Darius Leonard, Bobby Okazari, and Zaire Franklin. So that's the Colts front. One of the reasons why, well, Darius Leonard's got an injury issue. We'll see how that works out. But that's a top-tier looking defensive front. What the Falcons are trying to build. That's the reason why those teams are in the top tier in the Falcons or in the seventh tier. We're going to take a break. We're going to pause for the cause, and we're going to get back to the defense here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach. An air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. A drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's get to the linebackers. We kind of mixed in the linebackers because in this defense, the outside linebackers are really defensive ends too. So, you know, we already talked about Lorenzo Carter a little bit, Audie Ondike, Quentin Bell. Those are the outside linebackers. We got a little drama at inside linebackers. But let's hear from Arthur Smith on the linebacker units.
And the linebackers,
inside guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Deion got something cleaned up in the offseason. Should be ready to go by camp. Mm-hmm. So, but that room's going to be competitive. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to have to earn a spot. Like Michael Walker played well at low linebacker for us in spots. And Michael was a guy that developed. He was more – he kind of found a home there. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a tough room for whether it's Deion or Michael. Rashawn Evans is extremely motivated. It just wants a shot. Proves it, right? He's a first-round pick in Tennessee. He had some productive years. Whatever happened, happened. And we have some familiarity, but he's like Lorenzo. He's on a one-year deal. And then you've got Troy, we drafted. We'll bring him along at the right pace. Mm-hmm. But there's real competition. It's not like somebody's going to walk in there and hear the anointed. I got it. Like, normally where you invest, that guy should be playing. Mm-hmm. But again, that's why I appreciate Grady and Jake so much. Those guys are so consistent. There's a lot of responsibility. There, but those guys, their habits and the way those guys, I mean, that's why you feel good about it. Mm-hmm. Like, all we're trying to do there is get the right guys. Mm-hmm. It's competitive, and that's the nature of the NFL. Mm-hmm. And so that room, however it shakes out, and I've said this many times, there's no secret there. There's open competition. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Open competition. Deion's got to come back and earn his job. Mykael Walker did a story on him this offseason. He said, hey, man, I've been ready to start. I'm just waiting for my opportunity. Durian Etheridge was a tackling machine in the exhibition season last year. So looking forward to seeing him and Troy Anderson out there in the exhibition games. They got to bring Troy along fast. And so we'll see. He'll definitely help him on special teams with his speed. Inside linebacker Nick Kyle Watkowski, and then Nathan Landman, one of the undrafted free agents. He's no slouch either. So they've redone the whole inside linebacker thing. Coach Dean Pease must have been on the warpath about that this offseason. So, Rashawn Evans comes over from the Titans, and I wanted to reached out to my folks over in Tennessee. What happened with Rashawn Evans? Why was he benched? He was oftentimes shooting the wrong gap, which opened up rushing lanes. There were coverage issues also. They just really started feeling more confident in David Long Jr. and Vrabel loved Zach Cunningham from their days in Houston together. Rashawn can definitely play for Dean Pease. 2019 was probably his best season. So that's what I had on my book on Rashawn Evans. So there were some issues, but he can play. They just liked the other guys better, and they went in that direction. So He's here in Atlanta. He was leading the linebacking drills, and he'll have a shot there. And just to wrap up the outside guys, you got Lorenzo Carter. It's Jordan Belfort is the other kid. Arnold Ibikete, Arde, Quentin Bell, Rashawn Smith, D'Angelo Malone, and then Coney Dean. So they've got, you know, they got eight guys over there. You know, they're going to probably take three or four in the game, just a couple on the practice squad. So there's some opportunities there. If you can get to the quarterback, you got a shot at making this team. So, and finally, we're going to hear from Coach Smith and his thoughts on what to look for in the secondary.
Secondary, you, I mean, on paper, everything, you know, Casey can give you a couple, a year, well, he's a two-year guy, right? 1 year,
yeah, but look, look, Casey.
Stabilize the right corner and
sure,
and find a nickel.
But, yeah, we got to make sure, and we're going to bring Isaiah along. He's itching to go back out there, but we'll be smart with Zay. Uh-huh. You know, Zay was a guy that was kind of finding a role at nickel for us last year. Right. We'll see. He's coming along. And I don't put a time on that. It's not fair to Isaiah, but I promise you, he's itching to go. But we're not going to put somebody out there that's not ready. But you'll see Zay go through some modified individual. But, you know, we got to find that somebody to play consistent in the nickel spot. Mm-hmm. You know, Darren Hall needs to continue to develop. I'm excited about some of these other guys we brought in. I'm excited to see what D. Alford can do. It's a guy I would I would want to, you know, it's a guy you ought to put your eyes on and keep an eye on. I mean, that's a cool get late in the year by our personnel staff and a guy that's been here and, you know, works. Corey Ballantyne. I mean, the list goes on. Mike Ford, a guy that Marquise has worked with that's been a really good gunner in this league and should be able to provide you some depth out there.
And then the young guys should be ready to take over at safety. Or if not,
should.
Eric
should.
There too.
They should. That's the plan. But if they're not, if they don't win the job, then it's not fair to the rest of those guys back there at safety. But, yeah, there's expectation for Richie and Jalen. You know, Eric's back. He'll find a role. Dean Marlowe. I mean, you know, we signed a guy at rookie camp, Trey Webb, signed the undrafted guys, and Hankins. I mean, we got good depth back there.
Jalen Hawkins, Richie Grant. Coach said, hey, that's the plan, but if they don't win it, hey, they got some options. And they do. You got Eric Harris, Tez Tebor, you know, Trey Webb, Doug Marlowe, Brad Hawkins. You got some options. But the plan, and this is a pretty good-looking plan, is AJ at left, Casey at right, Isaiah at nickel. He might make it back all the way. And then Jalen and Richie Grant. But if Isaiah can't make it all the way back, Darren Hall needs to get better. Mike Ford has been a special teams gunner in this league. You know, coach told us to look at D. Alford. So we did a story on him. He's a kid from Spalding High, Griffin, Georgia. Played at Tusculum up in Tennessee during the pandemic. Kind of got overlooked. Went to Canada. And won a Grey Cup with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And we talked for a little while. He talked about how tough it is in Canada because the receivers get that kind of looping, running start. So you're like backpedaling. You ain't got to match their speed from a standstill. And so you're chasing the whole time. So he's enjoying the fact that the receivers, he can kind of just start when they start. So, yeah, keep an eye on him. If he can hold up physically, he might be a sleeper there at nickelback. He's been playing left and right outside corner, so they're looking at him out there first. Maybe nickelback's down the road for him. But he's a guy that, you know, we were told to keep an eye on. Lafayette Pitts is back there. So, it's certainly, you want to be too deep everywhere. They look too deep here. Fine. They look three or four deep at nickel. And, you know, in the league right now, as we all know, the nickelback is essentially a starter. So, a lot of teams playing 11 personnel, running three wide receivers out there. And so, and if you got a bum nickel, which, you know, the Falcons had for a while back, you know, until they made the adjustment and made that a starter position, you know, you're going to get torched. You're going to get torched inside all day long. So, this looks like a pretty good group here heading into training camp. sure the personnel men will continue to upgrade, make utilization of the waiver wire and so forth as players come and go. But everybody's at the 90-man limit right now, so you kind of can be set here until, you know, for the most part for training camp. And then your next round of moves will be the first and second cuts. When we come back, we'll have all those dates and everything for you on the cut downs and so forth. They changed it a little bit around this year to give them a little bit more roster flexibility to play some players in these games, actually. So that's going to be different to actually see some players playing in the exhibition games. So, that's it. That's wrapped up. That's the defense. We're going to do a quick shout-out to the special teams. We're not going to go as in-depth with them. But, you know, up front, they got to find an interior pass rush. You got to stop the run. Their linebacking crew might be revamped. And the big note there, we didn't cover it here, but we'll do it real quick, is that, hey, you know, if you got five linebackers, that gives Dean Pease some flexibility in his packages. Now, say Deion comes back and beats out Mykael Walker. Dean Pease likes Rashawn Evans. So now you got three inside linebackers. So, hey, maybe you could put one of them on the tight end and beat him up instead of using a nickelback or a free safety over there. So, you know, they've got a couple. If you have four linebackers or three in this case, inside linebackers, that gives Dean Pease some flexibility to get creative with the scheme. So, and you can want to do that by getting your best 11 players on the field. And so keep a watch on that. If these guys, because linebacker looks like the strongest unit on the team, and it doesn't help you if they're sitting on the sidelines. So they'll figure out a way to get them on the field. And then the secondary, like I said, it was like seven players that had over 112 QB passer ratings last year. Most of them were gone, starting with Fabian Monroe and so forth. So, you know, they know the coverage got to get tighter. Pass rush got to get better. You got to stop the run first before you get to any all of that. So the Falcons certainly know what they want to do on the defensive side of the ball. They're getting closer to the type of players and the type of scheme that Dean Pease wants to run. So that could bode well for them in 2022. Quick look at special teams. They made a late move here in the offseason and picked up punter Bradley Pinion, formerly of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the San Francisco 49ers. Our Clemson folks will remember him. He played up there, up the road with the Tigers. Last season, he averaged 42.5 yards per punt, and his career average is 43.7. He's also handled kickoffs throughout his career, so that might be something they could take off of Young Wei Koo's plate. As a punter who also kicks off, Young Wei Koo is back to lead the field goal unit, and we'll see if they're going to let him kick off too. But you have the depth there with Bradley Pinion, who will have to beat out undrafted rookie Seth Vernon. You know, last season the Falcons scrambled at punter for a while before landing on Dustin Colquitt. So they'll come into the season with an established veteran, at the punter spot, and a young kid with a big leg. The long snapper is Liam McCullough for now. Josh Harris signed with the San Diego Chargers in free agency. And I have Pinion and Desmond Ridder down for the holding position. Avery Williams as the punt returner and Cameron Baston as the number two punt returner. Of course, Avery's moving over from defensive back to running back for the Falcons. The kick returner is Cordarrelle Patterson, four-time Pro Bowler, backed up by Avery Williams and Cameron Bastion. You know, they getting the coverage units together will be a big thing for the Falcons. They were 22nd in the league in special teams last year, so being able to flip the field and pin people back will be key again. A lot of speed was drafted. Expect to see some of that speed on special teams. Arnold Ebikute and Troy Anderson is possible special teams guys, and you know, we'll see how those coverage units shape up as they cut down to the 53-man roster closer to the season. So there we have it. Last week we broke down the offense. This week the defense and special teams. So you're ready for training camp. The Falcons are set to open on July the 26th in Flowery Branch and start getting ready for that September the 11th opener against those people from New Orleans, the black and gold folks from down there, the New Orleans Saints. The Falcons will kick off the season against them. So with that, we're going to ask you to take care of yourself and have a great rest of your week.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.